again, I'm going to propose a crazy solution that I've been proposing for you over the past few weeks, and that is that some of you that might be feeling down, discouraged, beaten up, weak, struggling, whatever the issue is that you're just kind of wrestling through life, I want to put a posture of I need to receive right now and I'm not capable of giving. I want to propose for you a crazy solution. Okay, you ready? Are we okay with crazy for a moment? Anybody like crazy? Some of you would rather it be crazy, okay? A crazy solution for you, okay? Here's the crazy solution. Instead of sitting around and mending and licking your wounds and getting yourself better, get up on your feet and start doing. And you might think, well, that sounds crazy because how can I start doing if I'm not whole, I'm not healthy, I'm not in a good space? Well, you'd be surprised, and it works this way with depression. If you've ever battled with depression, what happens is what you need most is to be active and be with people. And what you avoid the most is being active and being with people. And you keep spiraling down and spiraling down and spiraling down because you think I need space because I'm not feeling great right now. And your emotions, I don't know if you know this, your emotions are crazy. Do you know that? Emotions are great. They feel good when they're on the high. And they can motivate us to do things that we couldn't otherwise without the emotions. But your emotions are not smart. They're not. They can't problem solve. They can't fix things. They just kind of are not there. And so your emotions, and sometimes you don't realize it's your emotions, but your emotions tell you that the best solution is, and whatever follows that is not the best solution. The best solution, if we want to be spiritually healthy, believe it or not, is to not sit down and take a break. The best solution is to get into the game and do the work of the kingdom of God, which involves being a part of church services, being present, it involves being in small groups, it involves being in ministry and doing different things, it involves putting up with difficult people. Do we ever have to put up with difficult people? Okay, it involves struggling and it involves heartache at times and it involves a lot of different things. And yet in that space is where spiritual health will begin to flourish. Is in the space where we decide we're jumping in. But if you decide to jump out, that's the reason why some of those things start to fall apart. You feel apathetic. And again, I know it sounds crazy, but this is the solution. You have to get into this. And this is why we are emphasizing our mission or our vision to create a safe space to make life better. Okay? We want to be a part as people to make a safe space where people can be accepted, understood, challenged, helped, supported, all of those things so that we can in turn have the life abundantly that Jesus describes. And part of that, and Tori or Bonnie, would you get that slide that you created for us? We did this last week, bring value, bring people. Didn't she do a good job on that slide? Okay. So what we're going to do is each week before and after service, you may not have noticed that. I pointed out to John and he said, I probably wouldn't have seen that if you wouldn't have said anything. This is going to be up every Sunday before and after service. As well as we add additional core values, we're just going to have them kind of circling through. Not to brainwash you, just to remind you, okay? Because we kind of forget everything, don't we? Okay, so this is what we're doing. We're seeking to bring value and bring people. If you don't know what I'm talking about, the message, you can get it from last week through our various channels that we have available to you. So the next step to this journey is, you know, I want to bring value. I want to bring people to this thing. But I don't know if I agree with the method to do it. Or I don't know if I agree with this viewpoint, like we talked about the outreach during Halloween. I don't know if I agree with that. So what do we do when we don't agree? Because I don't know if you know this, but over the past 500 years, what the church has been doing is, I don't agree with you guys, I'm starting another group over here. I don't agree with you guys either, so I'm going to go start another group over here. And I don't know if you've ever researched it, there's probably about 500 different denominations that exist right now. Now, some for good reasons, because there are times where Christians are becoming apostate and they truly are falling from the faith. But there are other times that it's over things that are really, it's not worth fighting over and weakening ourselves, because what does Jesus again say? A house divided against itself cannot stand. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to all go to the exact same church necessarily. But if we're a part of a church, we need to figure out how can we be united and have the same mindset? How in the world can we do that? And Paul in 2 Timothy, he's writing to him, and Timothy is a minister, and you might think, well, I'm not a minister, so I don't think this applies to you. Well, first of all, remember Ephesians 4 says that the pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, that their ministry is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. And not only that, but pastors and elders and whatever term you find in the Bible, their goal is to be an example to you on how you are supposed to be living. And that doesn't mean that you do everything that a pastor does, but in many ways, a pastor is supposed to show you this is what you're supposed to be doing. And so when we get instructions, like here in 2 Timothy 2, on how someone is to minister, these apply to us also. Okay, so we're going to work our way through this chapter, and there are three principles that are going to surface. If you don't catch them, then just let me know later, and I'll be glad to give them to you. But one is knowing what your mission is. We're going to see that surface throughout this chapter. I need to know what my mission is. Secondly, I need to manage the tension. Now, the tension we're going to see is between the Word of God, my opinions. Okay, that's a very difficult tension that we don't realize sometimes we're in the midst of. Word of God, my opinions. Third is pursuing quality, that I want to be the quality, bring value. I want to be a quality person so that I can bring value and be able to add to people's lives. So we're going to work our way through here, and we're going to see where are we as ministers this morning. How can I do this thing of bringing value and bringing people? And we're going to see that there's an anchor throughout this whole chapter that is going to be our second, and which I didn't have, Tori, if I would have been smart enough, I would have thought to have her get a slide ready for the next one, but I didn't. But we're going to see what the next step is that's anchoring this whole chapter together. You ready? Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Paul says to Timothy, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So we have to start with, if you are in such a weakened state, then you might not be able to add value to somebody else. And there are various ways. So if you are not a student of the Word, it's going to be hard for you to put the Word into somebody else. If you are not filled with and having the working of the Holy Spirit in your life, it's going to be hard for you to demonstrate that to somebody else. If you are riddled with sin, it's going to be hard for you to show somebody else freedom from sin. So there is some reality that if I'm weak, there is a lessening of my capacity to do things. And so the solution that he said here in verse 1 is for us to just stay at home, right? Because we're not good for anybody, so we just stay at home. And, I'm upset about it because no one thinks that I'm good enough, so I'm just going to stay and hide in my house. And that's what he said, right, in 1 Timothy 2:1. No? Strengthen yourself. But how? In the Lord. So we need to constantly be asking the Lord, help me to become what you want me to be, that I'm becoming closer to you, more intimate with you. I'm receiving more of the working of the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm studying and knowing the Word, and I'm letting that affect me, and I'm becoming stronger. And I think sometimes where we get this wrong is we're seeking this strength so that we can feel better about life, so that we can kind of tackle the problems that we have. And that's wonderful. That is a byproduct of that. But that's not actually the reason why you should strive to be strengthened. The reason we should strive to be strengthened is so we can be the tool, the instrument, to bring that value to other people. Because like I said last week, God's waiting for you. That person in your life that you think somebody needs to do something about, that person, guess who that somebody is? It's you. God's waiting for you to be the somebody, to get strengthened. Instead of just saying, well, I'm not strong enough, then get strong enough and become the person that can bring that value to that person. So that's verse 1. Verse 2, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now, here we see what the part of the mission is, or the pattern is. You see, Timothy's the minister. And yet Paul says to the minister, I need you to teach other people how to live this out so that they can go out and teach other people how to live this out. And so this is a making disciples procedure. I'm supposed to make disciples out of you. Even our leaders, and they're supposed to make disciples out of you. And then you're supposed to make disciples out of somebody else. All of us are supposed to be making disciples. So the question is, who are you discipling? Who is it in your life that you are discipling, mentoring, challenging in their faith, being there for? And I know that we serve in different ministry capacities, and that's great, and we should be doing that. But are you making disciples? This is the mission. The mission isn't just to make someone feel happy. The mission isn't just to be at church. The mission is to make disciples. Then verse 3, share, this is a wonderful gift that Paul wants to give to us. You ready? Share in suffering. Hallelujah. God is so good. So glad when he tells me to share in suffering. You guys game for that? You came here this morning hoping to get, guess what, everybody, you get suffering today. Is that what you came here for? No, probably not. But this is what the scriptures are saying to us. Share in suffering, but how? As a good soldier of Christ Jesus. I want you to first think about a soldier. He's using the analogy. He's going to jump to two other analogies as well. He's using the analogy of a soldier. And I want you to think about a soldier in battle. Okay? In battle, and has anybody ever served in a war, in combat? Anybody ever served in combat? Okay. Just curious if anybody has experienced that, because you would probably know better than a lot of us. So in combat, in military, I presume, because I've not done that myself, I've heard that, and we kind of understand this, you would expect that it's going to be awful, right? You know, I'm going to be harmed likely. I could be killed, and this is going to be a lot of suffering. This is going to be difficult. And so Paul is saying all of us are soldiers, and the expectation is that I'm going to suffer. That if I'm going, not if I just say, yay, Jesus, and I'm going to suffer. Okay? Not if I just use my Bible app and listen to the songs and the Bible, and I just stay in my own corner and leave everybody alone. No, not that. No, if I jump into this thing called ministry, the mission of making disciples and being in people's lives and seeking people and seeking him and doing the work of the ministry, if I get in that thing, there's going to be suffering in that thing. And I think that some of us, we jump in, we feel the suffering, and we go, I'm out. You know, I'm not really good with this. And this is taking too much of my time. This is taking too much energy. No one's doing what I'm telling them to do. Have you ever felt that before? Nobody's doing what I'm telling. I can't get anybody to do anything. I can't get anybody to do this stuff. Nobody understands what I'm saying. I don't understand what's going on. Or people don't like me. Have you ever had that before? Someone doesn't like you. Someone got mad at you. All those different things that happen. Or I don't know what I'm doing. Have you ever been there before? I don't know what I'm doing. And this is all the experience of someone who jumps into the ministry. Not that they're not empowered. Not that they don't thrive and get places, but you don't get places until you first become the soldier and you jump in and do the fight, and you have to expect that this is going to be hard. And if we all just say, well, I'll get in when nobody's going to hurt me anymore. I'll get in when it's not hard anymore and difficult. I'll get in when everything starts to succeed and go right, which, by the way, is what often happens if you've ever watched church life, and many of you have only been a part of one church for most of your life. But if you have ever watched church life, what usually happens is if it's going good, everybody wants to jump on board. Okay? If it's going bad, nobody wants to be a part of it. But a good soldier, when the fight thickens, they don't run. They go right into the thick of the battle, and they share. But this is the cool part. They share in the suffering, because it is not expected that we are actually one solo soldier going into this fight. We are supposed to be sharing together with this suffering. And you saw a lot of people up here, and some are doing smaller things, some are doing a lot of things. And you see that there are people that are carrying burdens that other people are not carrying. And if all of us begin to say, you know what, let's link arms and let's all start doing these things and let's all share in this. And yeah, I see that you're getting a blow and you're getting a blow. Okay, I'll take some blows also. Guess what? The burden becomes less. You know that whole concept that sounds crazy to us, that take Jesus' yoke upon us and it'll be easy and light? It becomes easy and light when we, the body, start sharing it together. It is not easy and light when only like the typical percentage. What do they say? 20% of the people do 80% of the work and 80% of the people do 20% of the work. It becomes light when we become the body. Not when just one person steps forward, but when we decide to become the soldier that's willing to share in the sufferings. Verse 4, no soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Now, there's a couple of things here. One, a soldier doesn't have time to deal with trivial matters. Now, that does not mean that we don't need to take care of things that don't seem as spiritual, as urgent, as exciting. Okay, we need to tend to various mundane things. But what that does mean is that if something that is not about the mission, if something that is not about the Word of God is getting in the way of me doing the mission, I need to stop caring about that thing. I need to stop squabbling. And this is where the tension begins to show up. And the tension is that you and I have opinions. You and I think that certain things should be done a certain way. You and I have certain ideas. But does that idea, does that opinion, does that issue that you have actually have anything to do with accomplishing the mission? If it doesn't, civilian affairs. Does that issue actually have clear declarations in the Bible as a certain biblical mandate, or is it something that's really unclear? If it is unclear, civilian issues. I don't need to fight about that this wall is gray and not green anymore. I don't need to fight about that. Hello? Okay, good. I don't need to fight about that maybe in a couple of months we might not be sitting in pews, we might be sitting in chairs. Because does that actually have anything to do with the mission? Whether or not we have chairs or pews? The color of paint? Whether or not we do, because we at the board, we talked about different building projects that need to be tended to, and we were trying to put them in priority order. And if your priority thing, and a number of you have told me what your priority thing, if your priority thing is not the number one priority thing, guess what? That has nothing to do with the mission. We don't need to fight about. Do we need to fight about that? Do we? What we need to fight about is we need to fight the good fight of we need to make disciples, we need to do the mission, we need to stay faithful to the Word of God. I'm still trying to find somewhere in Leviticus where it says thou must have pews in the sanctuary. Thou must fix the kitchen first before you do the bathroom or an entryway. I'm trying to find that somewhere in Leviticus. It's there. Isn't it, Joyce? Isn't it somewhere in Leviticus? No, it's not in there? Then what must it be? Soldier affairs or civilian affairs? Most church fights, most church splits, most denominational splits happen not over the mission and the Word of God, over civilian affairs. We need to decide that we're not going to become those kind of people, those kind of soldiers that get wrangled up in civilian affairs. It got quiet for some reason. I don't know why that is. Verse 5. He moves to another analogy. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And we're going to see in a moment where our anchor is starting to surface here. Where do we find our rules? Where do we find our rules? In our experiences, right? If I had an experience, that's what tells me what the rule is, right? Everybody needs to go this way because I had an experience. That's the rule, right? Isn't that the rule? No, it's because I had some opinion, because I had this epiphany. I woke up in the middle of the night one time and opened the Bible and took my finger on a page and found a verse that said something, and now everybody else must do likewise. That's where we find it, right? No, we find it in accurately handling, which we're going to see in a moment, accurately handling the Word of truth. That doesn't mean we don't have experiences. That doesn't mean we don't have opinions. But when it comes to whether or not we divide, whether or not we say, I'm done, I'm stepping out of this thing, I'm not going to get involved in it anymore, when it comes to that, it better be over something that's stopping me from doing the mission or being faithful to the Word of God. That's where the rules come in. And that's where the tension lies, is because sometimes it's an opinion, sometimes it's clear biblical mandate. And we cannot, must not cave over clear biblical mandates, no matter who gets upset with us, because I forgot to mention this in our verse before. But Jesus says, Paul says to Timothy, because I serve the master of this army, right? My goal is to please Jesus, not Habiba, not Linda, not Alma, not Dwayne. And so when I and the board, we prayed about pews or chairs, prayed about paint, prayed about which project to come first, we didn't think, how do we please John and Betty Joe? We didn't think, how do we please Marcy? How do we please George, Carmi? That's not what we thought about. You know what we thought about? How are we going to most effectively do the mission? And how are we going to be most faithful to the Word of God? And sometimes people are happy with you because of that. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they disagree. And listen, I'm not saying that the Bible anywhere said thou must have chairs in the sanctuary or a gray wall in the sanctuary. All I'm saying is if we're going to fight and disagree and stuff, let it go. If it's not about the mission, and the Word of God. We get so wrapped up in so many things that really aren't as significant in the long run. I mean, when you get to heaven, is Jesus going to say, I can't believe that you guys let that church go apostate and get chairs? Is Jesus going to do that? Some of you think he does. I'm kind of worried here. All right, here we go. Verse 6 switches analogy again. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. This is where my crazy idea comes from. Did you notice what happens? The guy who gets into the thick of the work of the kingdom of God, guess what he gets? The first share of the crops. He gains from doing this. But I thought if I needed to get healed, I need to step out and I need to lick my wounds. You ever hear people say I'm burned out? Okay. Burned out often comes from a number of different things. It doesn't come from fulfilling the mission. If someone truly figures out what God has called them to do and they're getting involved in the mission, there is a life-giving flow that begins to happen because God wants to enable the servant that's willing to do the work. And you're looking for power elsewhere. The power comes from being the hardworking. You notice he says hard work. Ministry is not meant to be easy. It's not meant to be this little thing that you're able to slide in on the side and, yeah, I can do a little bit of something over here when I'm not doing anything else. That's not what ministry is supposed to be. Now, it's great when it happens, and sometimes it does. Ministry is supposed to be hard. And you know why ministry is supposed to be hard? Because we're ministering to people. And people are hard, aren't they? People are stubborn. People are stuck in their ways. People are focused on themselves. People don't understand things. And I'm not trying to be hard on people because people are great and people are faithful and people are loving and people do a lot of things. But it's not easy to work with people. And some of you have given up on doing the work of the ministry because people were hard and someone hurt you. And listen, somebody has to suck it up and decide to become the good soldier and the good farmer and the one that's going to say, if I have to get assaulted, if I have to get attacked in order for us to win this war, I'm going to fight the fight. I thought fight the fight was just making sure you're a good prayer warrior. No. It involves that, but it's more than that. Verse 7, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Verse 8, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Here's where we're going to get surfacing where our mission is or our focus is. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Whenever you get upset that things aren't going your way, remember, I'm serving Jesus, okay? I'm not serving my agenda. I'm not serving my goals. I'm not serving my preferences. I'm serving Jesus. The focus needs to be Jesus and not me. We're so focused on me. Sometimes our songs, not the songs we sing here, because we only sing holy songs here, but sometimes the Christian songs I hear are so focused on singing on me and who I am, and me and me and me. I'm not supposed to be living for me. I'm supposed to be living for Jesus and letting go of me. What did John the Baptist say? I must decrease so that he may increase. Verse 9, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. This is again the anchor here. It's what the Bible says. Listen, if you come and tell me that your experience is X, Y, Z, and that means that I need to do something that isn't found in the scripture, guess what? I don't need to do it. And your interpretation of that experience might not be correct. If you read something on the news somewhere, or you heard some TV preacher, or some Christian author, or some podcaster say, this is the way it is, but I don't see it in the Bible, guess what? I don't have to do it, because the rules aren't some preacher out there. The rules aren't even me. The rules aren't some organization. The rules aren't what I would like to happen. The rules are the Word of God. I get tired of so many Christians, which we don't have any of them in this building, who tell me that things must be a certain way and they don't have a shred of evidence to show for it in the scripture. If we're going to be united, if we're going to accomplish the mission, if we're going to be faithful to Jesus Christ, then we have to abide by the rules that are found in the scripture, whether we like it or not. Have you ever come across scriptures that you don't like? I mean, just be honest with yourself. I don't like that and I don't want to do that. But a good soldier follows orders, even if they don't like it, even if it means loss for them. Verse 10, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect. This is where we get our mission again. Who's the elect? The believers. I endure, I put up with this stuff for them, Not for me. Not so that I, because this is the thing. So many people leave, walk away from something because they're not gaining something. We don't do this stuff so that we can gain. We do this stuff for them, for other people. This is why Jesus died. He didn't die for him. He didn't have to die for him. He died for them. He died for other people. For the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The mission is salvation. It's making disciples. So it doesn't matter if our service is 30 minutes long or 3 hours long. If we're making disciples, praise the Lord, right? It doesn't matter if we're streaming or not streaming. It doesn't matter if we have pews or chairs. I'm high on this thing at the moment. You can tell that. It doesn't matter if we have paint one color or this color. It doesn't matter if we do the kitchen or the bathroom or the parking lot or the shed or whatever project first. It doesn't matter. If we're making disciples, praise the Lord. It doesn't matter if there's 100 people in the building or 20 people in the building. If we are making disciples, if we're doing the mission, that's what we're living for. It doesn't matter if the service is exciting or not exciting, serious or funny. It doesn't matter. If we are living for the mission, we're fulfilled. What are you living for, though? Are you living for the mission? Which rules are you abiding by? Your own? Your interpretation of your experiences? Your interpretation of the voice of the Holy Spirit? Listen, you can come to me and say the Holy Spirit says, but if the Bible doesn't say it, I don't need to listen to that voice. And you might say, what? Yes. Because as far as I know, and you might be surprised about this, you can think you heard the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean it was the Holy Spirit. Are you telling me that you are so in tune with the Holy Spirit that every time you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, you got it perfectly right? Are you telling me that you never missed it? Are you telling me that you never had a moment that the flesh came in, you thought it was the Spirit, but it was the flesh? You're telling me that you're flawless? And if I'm not flawless, that means I still have the propensity to be hearing wrong. And I cannot go around pointing the finger at other people and you must believe and you must do and you must be doing this and you must stop doing that if I don't have a scripture, multiple scriptures for it. It must be clear. Our minds are dedicated to the Word of God, not other things. Not what other preachers say. I don't care who the preacher was. I don't care if it's me, Pastor Greg, Pastor John, Pastor Clayton Sheraton. I don't care if it's Billy Graham. I don't care if it's who it is out there. I don't care. If it's not clear in the scripture, we can't hold anybody accountable to it. We must not, because we're getting involved in civilian affairs and we're fighting over civilian matters and not the actual fight of the mission. Serve the mission. Verse 11. The saying is trustworthy for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, notice that word keeps surfacing. We're supposed to be enduring, suffering, doing hard work. We will also reign with him. Did you catch that, though? If we endure, we will reign with him? You see, the Christians that decide that they're just going to step back and watch the show, I wonder where their standing is with Jesus Christ. Okay, the person who's actually in the mission. Jesus is in the mission of making apostles and disciples. Not in making someone who can play the couch potato armchair quarterback in the mission. And if I'm being insulting, I intend to be. No, I'm just kidding. Trying to make it light a little bit. God's word is not light sometimes. If we deny him, he will also deny us. And notice, because I think sometimes we think that denying him means not believing in a person called Jesus. Denying him is when he comes in and says, you need to move that way, and you say, uh-uh. You're denying Jesus. If Jesus comes in and says, this is the mission you need to accomplish, and you say, uh-uh, you're denying Jesus. If Jesus comes in and says, that part of your life, you need to stop that, and you say, uh-uh, I'm going to keep doing it, you're denying Jesus. How many times does Jesus show up and say, move with me? What is he? When Jesus showed up on the scene, did he say, will you like me? Did he show up and say, hey, will you just say, yay, Jesus? Hey, will you believe in me? No, what was his constant call? Follow me. You see, it doesn't matter if you believe in a person. It does. But it doesn't matter so much if you believe in a person of Jesus. It matters if you're a follower of Jesus. Are you living your life in the pursuit of pleasing him? Verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Verse 14, remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. So again, if you don't have a biblical mandate, and I want you to understand something, and we're going to get into this about, not today, understanding the interpretation process. Just because you think a verse says something doesn't mean you're right. Okay? So we want to know what the Bible clearly says, and that's what we want to stand on. And if someone's resisting what the Bible clearly says, well, they have a fight on their hands. But if the Bible doesn't clearly say it, let it go. Stop fighting over, because it says the people who fight over those things, which does no good but only ruins the hearer. You destroy God's body. You destroy the mission. You destroy the spiritual welfare of yourself and others when you decide to stand up on the molehill you want to die on and fight over something that is not clearly in the Word of God. Because the Bible doesn't speak contradictory things. The Bible does not contradict itself. So if we submit ourselves to the Bible, if we can commit to that, guess what? We will be one. We will be one. If we decide not to fight over things that are not clearly there, we will be one. And if you don't like it, tell Paul about it. You're going to have to wait to die first to tell him about it, but you can tell him about it. Verse 15, do your best to present yourself. Here's where quality shows up. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A worker. See, that word keeps coming up too. Okay, it's like we have a certain viewpoint we should be having of ministry here. A worker who has no need to be ashamed. What does this say? Taking your guess at what the Bible says. Making the Bible say whatever you'd like it to say. Lifting a verse out of context and running with it. Isn't that what it says? Just reading just portions of Scripture and not studying the whole counsel of God. Is that what it says? No, rightly handling the word of truth, which implies that there is a wrong way to handle the word of truth. Did you know Satan uses the Bible? Don't you remember that at the temptation? He said, Jesus, you should do this because the Bible says to do it. And so we need to understand that of ourselves and not be so arrogant to think that we have the handle on it. We need to study the Scripture and we need to hear out. If Carol's saying, well, I don't think the Bible verse says that, I need to listen to what she says, but not so that I can take on her opinion, but I need to see is what she's saying in the Bible. Listen to one another. You know that verse that says slow to speak and quick to listen? I think most of us hardly ever obey that, myself included. Because when someone says, well, I think the Bible says this and it's contrary to what you think, are you still listening to that person? Or are you just waiting to lock your ammo in and be able to shoot them down as fast as you can? That's not unity. That's a soldier getting involved in civilian affairs. Verse 16, but avoid, and here it comes again, avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead to people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus. For those of you that think you should never name a false teacher, inspired in God's word here. Verse 18, who have swerved from the, here's the anchor again, the truth. Okay, so if my opinion, if my issue, if my pet peeve is not clearly a biblical mandate and doesn't clearly have something to do with the mission, let it go. Maybe our core value needs to be let it go. Because we hold on to too many things that do not matter. Do things matter? Yes. But the mission matters. And the Word of God matters. Not my opinions. Not my ideas. Not my goals. Not my comforts. Not my principles. Who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing the seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. This is the quality again. I'm supposed to be a righteous person. It's hard for me to tell somebody else to be righteous if I'm not living a righteous life. That doesn't mean I need to be perfect, but I need to be growing. I need to be a disciple. Verse 22. Verse 20. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable use. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for good work. And I don't think we get the vividness of the language here. Some of you are the beautiful recliner that makes someone comfortable. Some of you are the sturdy floor that provides the support. Some of us is the toilet. Because that's the dishonorable use. I don't know if you know that. The dishonorable use vessels are for waste. Okay? And the question is, what kind of vessel am I? Am I a vessel of honor, or am I a vessel for dishonorable use? And I could be more vivid than that. The Bible is way more vivid than I am. But here's the question. Your work, your ministry, your life after Christ, the things that you're doing, you want to know how you're a vessel of honorable use or dishonorable use? Look at your lifestyle. Are you living a righteous life? Look at your spiritual fervor. How passionately are you pursuing Jesus? Look at the things that you're focusing your life on and care about. Is it the mission? Look at the things you're looking to uphold. Are they your values, your culture, your opinions, or is it the Word of God? A vessel of honor is upholding the Word of God, focusing on the mission, and living a righteous life and pursuing Jesus. That's a vessel of honor. And I can honestly tell you that I am not the picture of a vessel of honor. Neither could any of us say that. But the question is, am I moving in that direction? Verse 22, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness. Here are the qualities again. Righteousness, faith, love, and peace among those who are who call on the name or call on the Lord from a pure heart. Now listen to me. I'm not going to call anybody out. But there are times that I express something up here and I see a look that comes on the face. And the look is this. Sometimes I see some head movements when I say some things. And I know who you are. I can see you even though I'm not wearing glasses. And I try to assume that they must have just taken a mint that disagreed with them, and that's why they're doing that. It has nothing to do with what I just said. Are you bowing to the will of your Father, or are you bowing to your own will? And listen, your will can look a lot like God's will at times. Look at the Pharisees. They had a lot of the right things going. In fact, Jesus even said of them, do the things that they say. They had a lot of right things going, but boy, were they missing it. I don't want to miss it. Do you? I don't want to stand before Jesus and he says, you know, that was those songs were nice to you, son. And that was cool that you had perfect attendance. You know, I had perfect attendance throughout school. I only missed like a few days for the 16 years of my schooling career. Does it matter? When I was a kid, I thought, this matters. You know, I'd never missed a day, but it doesn't do anything. In fact, I'm telling you now, and some of you are like, it doesn't matter. And I don't want to get before Jesus, and we were like, we did this, and we did this, and we did this, and Jesus goes, that doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. What matters is, did we focus on the mission, and did we live by the rules? Last verse, I think it is. No, last couple of verses. Verse 23, hear it again. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to every... Oh, that's why I was saying that. So when someone comes to you and brings to you something that's kind of what is the word? I hate when a word... A confrontation, but it's coming from the Lord, or it might be, the response shouldn't be, the response should be kindness. What do you think would happen if someone went up to you and confronted you and you said, thank you so much for sharing that with me? What do you think might happen for that person? You might embolden them to continue to do the work of the mission. And just because that you see someone is missing the step from the Bible, so far what I see here is the answer is if you see someone stepping outside the bounds of biblical mandates, if we see someone stepping outside the bounds of the mission, what you should do is go up to them and say, you are a lousy, no good, nothing, you're not worth anything, and you need to stop that because I hate your guts. That should be the reaction? Or should the reaction be, I'm not talking to that person anymore. I'm done. No, I'm done. I'm done. Some of you have said that just recently, this week. I'm done. I'm not dealing with that person anymore. No, I'm done. They're beneath me. I'm done with that. Who gets portrayed in the positive light by Jesus with that attitude? There is the guy that stood before the altar saying, I thank you that I'm not like this guy. That's not the guy that's received by Jesus. The guy who humbly becomes before the Lord and says, I'm a mess, but Lord, I don't want to be a mess. The humility. So when you come to point fingers, make sure you're doing it in love, with gentleness, This is the safe space. We cannot create a safe space if we crush people like whack-a-mole because they get something wrong. And most of the time, they didn't even get something wrong. They just disagreed with your opinion. I'm telling you, most of our fights today, I watch it. I watch it in other churches. I don't see it here. I watch it that people are fighting over things that they think matter, and they don't matter. Correcting his opponents with gentleness. Oh, actually, I forgot the line. I didn't finish that verse before. Kind to just those who are kind to you, right? Kind to those who receive you well. Kind to those who get it. No, kind to everyone, even that guy that you can't stand, that's always resistant, always difficult, even that guy. Kindness to everyone, patiently enduring when people are forgetting things. Patiently enduring when people are accidentally making mistakes. No, patiently enduring evil. So if you go running, hightailing it out of this church because someone hurt your feelings, did you endure evil? If you go abandoning your post of a ministry that you're serving because someone didn't give you adequate recognition, are you enduring evil? Are you doing what he's telling you to do if you run when it gets hard? When you run, when we get mistreated, we don't have soldiers today. Where are the soldiers in God's kingdom today? Verse 25. Correcting opponents with gentleness, God may perhaps grant him repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. Again, the mission comes, last verse, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Did you notice that the solution for our world today is to not take up a political campaign to make sure some party wins some election? Did you notice that this passage does not say the way you accomplish the mission is that you make sure certain things happen with this building because something's got to be done about it? Did you notice that this did not say that accomplishing the mission is making sure that you tell people like it is? Accomplishing the mission is us getting us humble, loving, gentle, peaceful, and deciding that I'm not living for my things anymore. I'm not living for my pet peeves, my goals, my opinions, my agenda. I'm not living for that. I'm living for the mission of making disciples. Is it anyone where the church isn't reaching the world today? Because we're not living for that. We're living for positive, encouraging K-Love. Right? I love K-Love. K-Love's great. But you can't accomplish your mission by just letting them sing you to lull you into a peaceful state. You can't accomplish your mission by just sitting and letting the Bible be read to you by you version. Not that there's anything wrong with those things. But you cannot accomplish a mission unless you're making disciples. That's the mission. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? I'm not going to give a formal, official call to response this morning other than perhaps just a show of hands. I know I went long and, so to speak. Sometimes I say that and some people say, don't say you went long. I want you to go longer. And other people say, yeah, I wish you would have stopped earlier. Here's the pursuit I want us to have. We'll bring value, bring people, one. Secondly, pursue and obey biblical truth. I'm telling you, if we do that, we're going to have a winning equation here. Pursue and obey. And why do we have both those words? Because sometimes we will obey if it comes to us, but we're not chasing it out to see the answer. How many times do we hear what we think the Holy Spirit says, and we don't go and pursue the scripture to find out if that's what God would say? How many times do we have an experience and we make certain conclusions and we don't go to scripture to see if the scripture validates what I think was happening? We need to be students of the word of God. What does Jesus say? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If you don't have sustenance that's in you, it's because you're not consuming the Bible on a constant basis and the whole breadth of it. If you've never read Leviticus, that's a problem. And Joyce said, amen, hallelujah, it's the best book in the Bible. To which other people would say, I'm not really sure what's happening in there, but I'm sure it's good somewhere. If you've never read Numbers, if you've never read Lamentations, if you've never read Ephesians, if you've never read the whole counsel of God, what are you missing? this thing, this life-giving force is when I jump into the mission. It's why Jesus said in Acts 1 that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be my, you will find peace and love and positive encouraging, right? You will be able to take it easy and feel better about yourself, right? There won't be too much work involved. It'll be less work, less conflict, less issues, less confusion. No, that's not what he said. He said, I will pour out my Holy Spirit upon you so that you will be my witnesses. It's all about mission. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a moment? I feel a weightiness upon me of the responsibility that I have before you and before God as your pastor. I would love nothing more than to each week just tell you how amazing you are and how you can just keep going the way you're going and make you comfortable. But I would not be doing you a just service if I did that. I need to let you know the picture of where God wants you to be. And I want you to hopefully hear me that I don't do this to make my life better. I don't do this to make something of me. I do this because I know of the health and the life abundantly that is ahead of you if you jump into this mission. So if you're here this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed, and you'd say, you know what? I'm not truly a soldier according to the definition of this chapter. I'm not the hardworking farmer. I'm not the athlete. I might believe in Jesus, but I am certainly not the soldier. And you're saying this morning, but I want to start being that today. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Anybody in this room? Good. Anybody else? Good. Come on. Heads bowed, eyes closed still. I want to be a soldier, a good and faithful soldier. Anybody else? Good. So Lord Jesus, I ask that you would come in like a flood because I don't have all the answers. None of us do. But you do. And we ask, Lord, because where there is darkness, you are the light. You said that you are the light, Lord. And so we ask that you would shine your light in us so brightly that we would see the things, the ways that we are being faithful to you and being encouraged by that. But that we would also see the way that we're ugly and the way that we're failing and the way that we're not doing what we're supposed to do and the way that we're bringing harm and devastation because we're focusing on me and not on Jesus. Help us to see that. And help us to become that soldier. And may you build Bethel into an army of soldiers that are going to march and fight a warfare not of this world, but a warfare of gentleness and patience and kindness and enduring of evil. But a battle that is sticking with the rules, standing by the clearly stated principles of the Word of God and sticking with the mission. Help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to do one more thing. If you would be seated, and I'm going to let you go. Don't worry, that doesn't mean I'm going to keep you for a long time. I have a reason for this. There are some in this building right now that have done what I'm describing. There are some that have jumped into this thing and done the ministry and endured a lot of different headaches, heartaches, whatever word you want to put in there. And they've gotten to the other side and they found that they received so much more of a reward from the Lord, so much of a better life by serving than by sitting and waiting to receive. And so if that's you, it's not a bragging thing. There's a reason for this. If that's you, you jumped in and you have come to realize, I gain so much more by serving than by giving. Would you stand if that's you? Okay? Don't do it if it's not you because there's a reason for this. John and Elmer, are you standing because that's you? Or yes? Okay. So we got a couple of you. Here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to take my word for it only because we tackle things by the word of our testimony. I want you to see these individuals that are standing, and I want you to go, and I want you to ask them how that happened. Yes, Habiba, you need some answers. She laughed when I said that. I want you to hear them tell you what they've experienced and what they've gained. And I've had the same thing. I have discovered that it is so much better. And isn't this in the Word of God? It is so much better to give than to receive. And so I love you so much, and I pray that you will be with me, and I pray that you will remind each other of these things. I pray that you will remind, when you see someone deciding I can't do anything, I want you to remind them, but we need to bring value. That's what the Word of God says. We need to bring people. I want you to remind others when you see them saying, you know what, this is the way it has to be, and there's no Bible, no clearly Bible in that. I want you to remind them, but we pursue and obey biblical principles, not your ideas. I want us to remind each other of that. And that shouldn't turn into a physical brawl, okay? If someone tries to attack, just run, okay? Not that I'm sure, I know Alma has a cane, but I'm sure she would never hit you with it. But we need to do these things. Can we do these things? Amen. Will you stand with me? And I'm going to dismiss you. Next week, we're going to dive into the interpretation process. How do I know what is clearly a biblical mandate? How do I know that? That's what we're going to talk about next week. I hope you will come and be a part of that. Thank you for being here. God bless you. See you next Sunday.